nation. So, in short, there was no autism known anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the hospital, they don't understand autism. You go to school, they don't understand autism. They don't know it. And the person who came to know, to tell me about the condition of my son, is a lady who had an autistic child, and the child was only diagnosed with autism in America. Here in Zambia, she also moved from one hospital to another, and they kept on telling her the same thing that they were telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were in America, thank God, you know, that they traveled with their child to America, and they were at this event, and this white man saw how their son was behaving, and he walked to them, and he was like, oh, your son is also autistic. They were getting to hear the word for the first time, and they were like, autistic? What is that? You don't know the condition of your son. And he started explaining to them. And exactly, and he told them, read about it, and, you know, they became friends with that white man because he had an autistic child. They went to their home, they met their son, and that's how come they came to know about that condition.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the couple that came to tell me about the condition of my son. Because while I was at UTH, I met this lady who saw how I was struggling with my son, and she was like, what's the problem with your son? I'm like, that's why I'm here. I want to know. I don't know.
Mm.
And she says, oh, I know somebody who has a child like this, but she knows the condition. I said, please, don't even waste time. Let me have the number, because I think I'm wasting time here at UTH. And that's how come she gave me the number. I dumped my son at home. I went to Chalala to meet this person. I entered the house, and the first thing that I saw is this boy rocking himself on the chair.
Mm.
And I was like, yes, I'm in the right place.
Mm.
This is the person who explained to me about autism. And she told me, you Google autism and start reading. And when I started reading, everything that I was reading was pointing out to my son's behavior. And I felt so at peace at that particular time, because now at least I knew what I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I decided to start the awareness. I said, oh, so there's this condition. And we have a lot of them here in Zambia, and parents don't know, they don't understand. And that's where the dream and the passion came to now start talking about autism.
Okay. Well, yes. We're grateful that you've at least shared your story, because, I mean, there's so many, I guess, people out there who might not even know. I think, like you've mentioned, I think people are beginning to know about this and attend to their children, despite how difficult mm-hmm. it may be. That's why we appreciate your work as the National Autism Association of Zambia, and we hope that more awareness does go out there around autism. But thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really grateful.
We have been joined by Angela Gondwe, the National Autism Association of Zambia founder and chairperson. And we've narrowed it down to autism because it's a form of disability that is now getting to be more recognized. Previously, like she mentioned, it wasn't really recognized, not even by some of the institutions or agencies that talk about disabilities in this country. And the reason why we've been talking about this is because today is International Day of Persons Living with Disabilities, something to take note of. The Phoenix Breakfast continues. Up next, we have the news at 8 with Lusumilo Gondwe.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
We're now only 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Muntu Andy, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes, or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Chaliroku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters.
The headlines. Constitutional reform report to be made public soon. Over 1,600 teenage deliveries recorded at Solwezi General Hospital between January and October this year. The Kremlin signals no breakthrough after Ukraine talks with the U.S. To present the news, I'm Lusavilo Gondwe. Vice Chairperson and Spokesperson of the Technical Committee on Constitutional Reform, Dr. Landela Nibanda, says the technical report recently submitted to President Hakainde Hichilema will soon be made public. Dr. Banda explains that the constitution is a public document and that once all administrative matters relating to the report's release are finalized, the document will be made available to the public. And responding to concerns about the over 11,000 submissions received from a population of 20 million, Dr. Banda notes that similar consultations received fewer submissions, boasting that his committee received significant feedback. He spoke to Phoenix News in an interview.
What I can say is that in due course it will be public. Of course, we are talking about the constitution here, and as you know, it is a document of the people, right? It is a document that is based on submissions made by the people, and those submissions will come to light through the bill in due course once all the other administrative relating to its release are finalized.
The Civil Society for Poverty Reduction, CSPR Executive Director Isabel Mukelevai, is calling for urgent reforms in wages to address the high cost of living in Zambia. Ms. Mukelevai says it is unfortunate that the wage structure has remained stagnant despite the continued increase in the cost of living, a trend that she says is worrying. In an interview with Phoenix News, Ms. Mukelevai emphasizes that this stagnation is contributing to more households slipping into poverty, even as broader economic indicators show signs of improvement. She is of the view that meaningful wage adjustments are necessary to ensure citizens can cope with current economic pressures and maintain a decent standard of living. A total number of 1,606 girls aged between 10 to 19 have from January to October this year given birth at the Solwezi General Hospital, sparking urgent calls for action to address the escalating crisis of teenage pregnancies. This shows an increase in the number of girls getting pregnant from the 1,590 recorded last year, highlighting the need for immediate intervention to protect vulnerable girls. In an interview with Phoenix News, the Solwezi General Hospital Head of Clinical Care, Dr. Joshua Chisanga, says teenage pregnancy is a growing public health concern, requiring a multi-sectoral approach involving traditional leaders, the Ministry of Education and other stakeholders to develop measures to curb the problem. Dr. Chisanga has since called for urgent action to address the escalating crisis of teenage pregnancies, which he describes as a severe clinical and public health concern.
It has really become a real issue, not only clinically, but also as a public health, you know, concern. Because if you look at the statistics for last year, 2024, where the hospital conducted a total deliveries of 6,192, just for this year alone, from January up to October, we conducted a total number of 5,683 deliveries, of which 41 of those were aged 10 to 14 years of age, and 1,565 were aged between 15 and 19. Teen pregnancy is really becoming a public health issue.
Political historian Bizek Piri is urging political parties to hold their conventions as the 2026 general elections approach, emphasizing the importance of electing leaders at all levels to strengthen party unity. Professor Piri notes that holding conventions demonstrates a party's respect for democratic principles and helps prevent divisions that can arise when top leadership appoints individuals to key positions without input from party members. He stressed that conventions are crucial for parties, including the ruling party, to elect leaders at section, ward, constituency, and national levels. In an interview with Phoenix News, Professor Piri says holding a convention ensures the majority's wishes are respected.
Conventions are very, very important. So as we move towards the 2026 elections, the ruling party itself, UPND, should have a convention to elect.